Welcome to Reaching Out Ministries. We would like to thank you for joining us for this week's program with Pastor Dave Waldner as he continues to preach the gospel. We invite you to listen to the Word of God presented in word and in song.
Faster cars, boats and trains, supersonic airplanes, everybody's going somewhere. Rockets speeding out, I wonder what it's all about. Ever going, never there. Prophets said it long ago, many running to and fro, always searching.
Consequences of sin. People get into sin and it doesn't stop there. It keeps going, keeps multiplying. I was watching with this stuff that's happening in the Middle East right now. I was watching YouTube and I came across a man whose grandfather was a Nazi in World War II, one of those SS killers. And he had three kids. And the oldest one couldn't talk. They tried to teach him, teach her, and teacher took her to specialists, just could not talk. So, what do we do? Well, they couldn't do much. Well, one day, the mother took the dad to work. And the little girl was out in the car. She came back, and the first words out of that girl's mouth was, "All Jews should be killed." How would you like to hear that from your child who couldn't speak a word. First words, all Jews should be killed. And they figured it out. Their dad was a killer, or their grandfather was a killer in the Nazi machine during World War II. So God visited the sin on the, up to the fourth generation. You can stop it when you're born again, because that evening they prayed with her, explained to her, and she started to talk when she asked God for forgiveness. Can you imagine that? So look into your backgrounds. Look into your forefathers. You might have a problem that is sticking with you, you can't get rid of, and it comes from your genealogy. That's what the Bible teaches, and this is what people are getting to experience and to understand when they study the Word of God. That was a shock to me. Not that I was shook up by the revelation, but it happened so blatantly to a family who had even no idea what their grandfather was into during World War II. So look at it, study it, see for yourself, where do I come from? What religion was I born into? That religion that you're born into, I know for a fact that stuff you bring with you, and it takes a battle to get rid of those demons. But God is faithful. He will let you win that battle if you put your mind to it and you mean business. Hallelujah. For today's message, I'll back up a bit from last week so you get the point, because I like to drive the point home with a hammer. Hallelujah. And if the nail isn't sharp, then I just hit harder. Hallelujah. For this cause, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Where's my boy? You're supposed to put these up. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Through revelation, God showed Paul something. What did he show him? The simplicity of the cross of Calvary. He showed him many things, but we're going to focus on salvation today. So if you want to know a mystery, study what Paul teaches, and then it says, wherefore when you read, remember those people, the only reading they had was the Old Testament. And it says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you study that word, you will start to understand what God has shown me by revelation. So Paul had to get the revelation himself, even though he knew the Word of God inside and out. You still have to have that revelation. So where do we stand? We may hear preachers preach most of our lives and still not get the revelation. Why? Because we do not dig in to the Word of God, where God can speak to us. So I fully recommend it. Study the Word yourself. Never mind what we preach. It's good to listen. It's good to hear, to get a revelation maybe, or to get led to that revelation, and then study it for yourself. Look what God has for you. And it'll surprise you sometimes, because a scripture can mean a thousand things to a thousand different people. That's how infinite the Word of God is. It says, the simple message I have, Ephesians 2, chapter 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This church should know that already by heart. They shouldn't even blink an eye and wonder, is that really so? It should already be settled in your heart that by grace you're saved through faith. It's not what you do, because whatever you do is not good enough to gain your salvation. So study, get to know the Word, and get the revelation yourself. Now listen to this. I'm going to shock you a little bit. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, of course, this church teaches you can get the revelation that once you're born again, you stay born again for keeps. It's not something that I like to preach as a doctrine. It's something that I preach. It has to be a revelation. I can preach to you every day the same thing. You'll agree with me, but in your heart you'll say, I wonder if that's true. I really don't feel it. I don't know really if I'm going to heaven. Why don't you know? You didn't have the revelation yourself. But the Bible teaches, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all you need. Believe what that says, and then accept it, and God will do the rest. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not forever preaching the gospel, which is good. I enjoy preaching the gospel. But he says the doctrines, the simple doctrines, he says, let us leave them. Let us teach something else. Let us go on to perfection. He wants to bring us into a state of mind where we know that we know. So it says, let's go on to perfection. Not again laying the foundation of repentance, not doing the same thing over and over again, of faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. We all know that eternal judgment comes for sure, right? We all know that God teaches we need to get baptized once we're born again by the Spirit of God. It also tells us dead works really don't do nothing for your salvation. And it says this we will do if God permit. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible. Listen, I want you to listen closely to those scriptures here. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away. Oh, ouch. You can fall away. To renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. If you, it seems like to say, if you're born again, if you have tasted of the power of God, and if you have tasted of the heavenly gifts, and you sin, then there's no more chance for you. But the King James Version is a fantastic version of the Bible. It uses the word taste. What does taste mean? You taste something, right? You've tasted of God. You've tasted. He has made you a partaker of the heavenly gift. He has given you understanding of the heavenly gift, of the heavenly things he has. He's shown you everything. You've tasted it. And guess what? You don't like it and you spit it out. That's what tasting means. Tasting means you just taste to see if you like what you have ingested, what you have put into your mouth. How many of you take a glass of wine at some place that you've never visited before, take the first taste, yuck, ah, out. Or food or any of those things. You taste and you don't like it and you spit it out. It works good when you walk in the bush, taste the berry, you don't like it, you spit it out. You don't do that at the guy's table. You kind of pretend you like it. So it's good. God bless the hens that prepared it, but don't make it again, please. Hallelujah. So this is what tasting means. You may even agree with the host that it's a good meal, but inside you wish you were in the bathroom where you could spit it into the toilet. Why? Because you don't like the taste. Here it is. You don't like what God has to offer. So you taste it and you spit it out. What happens when you spit it out? It simply means that you are rejecting God and His word. And that's the death penalty for you. And that's it. And I'm not talking about you getting shot or killed or drowned. The death penalty on this one is eternal fire where people will burn for the rest of eternity. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 24. Let us consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works, he tells us. Do that, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, especially as the manner of some is, but exhort one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Today, people, what's their church? Bedside church, pajama church. I've heard that phrase quite often. I go to pajama church. What does that mean? Switches on the TV, watches his favorite preacher or hockey game or football game or whatever he watch. But that's not assembling with the believer. It says you have to exhort one another to assemble together, to exhort one another, especially as you see what? The day approaching. Which day? The glorious day when God will say, come up hither. Hallelujah. That's going to be awesome. We got to encourage one another in that. And if we just sit by our TV, who's going to encourage us in this? You listen to your perfect preacher that you like. He hardly ever mentions the coming back of Christ. He doesn't talk about the eschatology, that's end times. And you don't get encouraged as you should. But if you get together with believers, I remember going to Uganda. We were there for, 2 weeks? And I told the guy, you're black or dark or whatever you want to call it. I don't know you from Adam. Never seen you before. A lot of you guys here, we were in church. I was up in front preaching to them through an interpreter. And I told them, I get along and feel more one with you than with my own flesh and blood at home. Why? It was because of that Spirit, the Spirit of Christ that was in me and in them. That brought on quite a bit of a hallelujah. And if you've ever had worship with black people, you'll find out what loud hallelujah is. They don't need speakers. Those guys, they can scream the roof off. And they only need a mud hut church. They don't need brick and mortar and all that stuff. They know what they got, and they use what they got. And it was the ones that I know. So encourage one another. Assemble together so that you can encourage one another. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, there we go again. If we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation, and shall devour the adversary, those who are against it. I used to struggle with that scripture. I looked at it again and again and again, about 2,000 times. And then finally it clicked. All I had to do was read a little further. Hallelujah. I was listening to a preacher as I come to church. He was invited to a lab. And guess what? They had dissected that frog they had taken out of a pond. And what can you tell us? They asked this professor. Well, who's his girlfriend? Well, we don't know. We took it out of the pond. We couldn't find out before we knew who the girlfriend is. So here is how it is. When you study scripture, don't just study one scripture. Read on. Study a little bit the context around it. And God will come through with that. Now watch this. If we sin willfully, there's no more sacrifice for your sin. You can have three, four meanings out of this, but I'll give you the simple one, the easy one to explain this. Once you sin willfully, what does it mean to sin willfully in this scripture? I'll go on and read what this verse partner says, just one scripture down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now look at this. It doesn't say he that broke Moses' law. What happened when they broke Moses' law? They brought a sacrifice, of course. Guess what? They put the sacrifice on the fire and God forgave them. But it's different if you despised Moses' law. What does despise mean? You spit it out of your mouth. You don't want it, you don't agree with it, and you don't want nothing to do with it. In the Old Testament, if there was one that was found out with two or three witnesses, he died without mercy. There was not even a question asked. They killed him. It says then, how much sore punishment suppose you shall be thought worthy of who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. Remember, at the cross, God took care of your sin. Amen. He's not going to take care of it as soon as you're born again. No, he took care of it at the cross. Whatever sin I'll commit in the future was taken care of at the cross. Whatever sin I committed in the past was taken care of at the cross. And it says, he that counts that blood unworthy, unholy, what will he get? It says, he that has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace, that guy will die without mercy. God will not have mercy on anybody who despises the cross of Jesus Christ. I don't care how good a grandmother you are, a grandfather, you can be the nicest grandmother that takes care of her young. Give her all the presents that they want. If you want some, go to grandma. That's the saying goes. That's what I found out works. So what happens if that sweet grandma does not have Christ? She will spend her eternity in the eternal lake of fire. That reminds me of a little story. How many of you have ever read 23 Minutes in Hell? It's a book about a guy who went to hell. He was a Christian. God showed him what was going on, and he brought him up for 23 minutes. He saw what was going on. And the guy was a real estate agent, and he was selling a house for a grandmother, a sweet grandmother. She was 80 years old, something like that, and she wanted to retire by selling her house and living a good life for the rest of her life with all the money she needed or wanted. And the guy sold her house. And he had just had that experience of being in hell. So he asked her, now that you got a nice nest egg, you can live for the rest of your life totally at ease without worry. But what about your soul? What if you die? What's going to happen to you? You know what that sweet grandmother said, I don't want to hear about your Jesus, not one more word. I don't want nothing to do with him. 2 weeks later, her nest egg crumbled and she died. Where did her money go? To whoever took it. And she had to face the rest of eternity without Christ and in a hopeless, fiery situation. Don't let that happen to you. You listening by the internet, turn to Jesus. Don't despise him. Turn this victory that Jesus got for us into a joyful moment and into a time where you can find rest for your soul. Look unto him. He will give it to you. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing.
We would like to thank you for your prayers and support as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. If you would like to get in touch with us here at Reaching Out Ministries, you can write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. That's Reaching Out Ministries at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel, Reaching Out Ministries, for all our services. For the music on this program, you can also write to us for more information, or you can follow the Wellman Family Singers on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, and all other platforms. Thank you for your support. May God richly bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.